Desiring God Behind the Blog, David Mathis with John Bloom, president of Desiring God, one of our more regular contributors to Desiring God blog. Many of you have read his content. He's been producing as regularly as anyone with a weekly column on Friday mornings over the last several years. John, thank you for being willing to talk.
It's great to be here.
I'm interested to hear some of these questions. We haven't talked about some of this before, so I'm excited to hear answers. I think our listeners are as well. How and when did you start writing, John?
I would say I began to write most regularly when Desiring God emerged. But before then, I mean, I've always been somewhat drawn to writing. I had instructors early on back in the school years that would pick up on my ability. They would comment on it, and that seemed to grow in my college years. And I would journal on and off. I'm not as regular of a journaler as John Piper is, but when I began to write for John in particular, and when Desiring God emerged, that's when writing became more regular.
So I wonder if so you've had a long-term interest in writing. I wonder if that's one of the things that drew you to John Piper 20 years ago or whenever.
Yeah, it could have been. I was drawn by his preaching, and I didn't see myself as a writer back then, but I've always been drawn to great writing. So people who've influenced me, John has been the single most significant writing influence on me. And of course, C.S. Lewis, Chesterton, there's a whole line of people whom I really enjoy because of the way they handle language.
Yeah. Are there others writing today that you like to read with particular interest?
Yeah. So I love to read Nate Wilson's stuff. He just has a way of looking at things that help me wonder. I love to see what's behind and wonder and just look at ordinary things because they are not ordinary. They're extraordinary if you look long enough, and he does a great job of doing that. Andrea Seyou, the reason I like to read her is both because she writes pithy, poignant articles, but she does it within about 800 words, and that tends to be my constraint, 500 to 800 words. And she does it really well.
She does.
And so I like to read her as an example. Ray Ortland, his blog, he does a great job of looking for Christ. Christ is Deeper Still is the title of his blog, and he's always pulling the supremacy of God or supremacy of Christ out. And I like to read Steve Fuller's blog. That's something I've discovered recently, but he's got a blog called Living by Faith. And so that hits themes that I love to meditate on and that I write on myself, and he does it really well.
Very good. What are some of those themes? What drives you as a writer? What do you tend to be drawn toward thematically?
Yeah, there are three themes that I kind of hit over and over in my writing for Desiring God, and those three things would be the affections. You know, this is Desiring God, and so it's sort of Christian hedonism central on the blogosphere, I guess. But so affections. Themes on faith, the nature of faith, what does it mean to live by faith, walk by faith and not by sight, and wonder. So I talked about wonder when I talked about Nate Wilson. So affections, affections are the things, you know, get at what we love, what we're passionate about, what we treasure. It's what we really believe that drives how we live, what we do. God's foremost commandment in the Bible is an affectional commandment. You know, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. So these affections are wired into our core beliefs, our core values, and which is why they're so important in the Bible, because, you know, Jesus says, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. And so I'm drawn to write on how the affections work and what do we need to do to stir our affections in the right directions and not listen to the wrong ones. As Paul says, you know, don't allow sinful passions to make us obey them. And so a recent example would be the post that I wrote called Emotions Are a Gauge, Not a Guide.
Yeah. Very good.
Faith. Let me just touch on faith. Here's how I state it. Believe God's promises over our perceptions. That's just a restating of 2 Corinthians 5:7. Walk by faith, not by sight. And that is very hard. It's very hard for us to do that. It's a fight to do that, Paul says in 2 Timothy. Because our perceptions are very limited. We have indwelling sin that makes deceptive promises to us. We've got the devil that makes deceptive promises to us. And so I'm always trying to poke into what does it mean to walk by faith, not by sight. And so a recent example would be a post from a couple weeks ago that's that was titled "When You're in a Spiritual Storm, Trust Your Instruments." The idea behind that is, aircraft pilot flying through a storm loses his bearings, has to trust the instrument panel, and God has done similar things for us, given us an instrument panel to trust when we lose our spiritual bearings. Third thing would be wonder. And I mean wonder in two senses. One is the wonder, the intellectual exercise of wonder. We've got to linger. We've got to think. Everything is an iceberg. We look at things, we just see the tip. Underneath is something huge and glorious, and we need to look at it a while to see it. And the second thing would be the experience of wonder, astonishment, awe, amazement, because that's so necessary to worship. You got to see glory and be in awe of it. That's what leads us to worship. And so a recent post that I wrote on that would be, let wonder lead you to worship.
John, where do you get your ideas for writing? How does it come to you? Where do you get your next inspiration?
Usually from devotions. Most of those posts are coming because I'm preaching those things to myself. I'm fighting a particular battle on morning. I'm praying through it. I'm searching the Bible. What is it saying about this? What does it say? And then if an insight hits, I write it down. And sometimes there's a little energy to it that I recognize and say, I think that might be a blog post, and I'll start writing notes on it, and then eventually it becomes a post.
When do you then have time to write? Something to make time for regularly, or?
I have to make time. Part of my work responsibilities is writing, so I try to carve a certain amount of my schedule out during the week for writing, because I'm being given assignments. Write this for the blog, write this for the blog, write this for the blog. But usually I can't squeeze it all into work time. I've got other things to do, and so early in the morning, late at night, I'm trying to hammer those things out.
Excellent. And you have a book coming out that's a compilation of your posts. It's been edited and revised and brought together. Tell us about that. When is it out? What's the title of the book?
Yeah, the title of the book is called Not by Sight, A Fresh Look at Old Stories of Walking by Faith. And it's a collection of writings that I've done for Desiring God, mainly narrative retellings. So it's biblical stories on the themes of faith, looking at what was it like to have been a person who experienced that story. We tend to think of Bible stories often as these sort of artificial things that could happen in some different kind of reality, and they were very ordinary people that experienced extraordinary things, and those things were difficult, and they relate to us. And what does it mean to have lived through those? What were the spiritual dynamics in those moments? So I'm trying to go in there and re-look at the biblical stories and tell them from that perspective and draw out what I think are lessons for living by faith for us.
John, thank you so much for joining us and sharing some of this. May God continue to inspire and bless your writing. Many of us are significantly blessed by it. Thank you for joining us on Behind the Blog.
Thanks, David.